Well, we'll start, Andrew, with yesterday's game, and it kind of was a bit of a mix of the two games we've seen in the series so far. Defences on top for the majority of the game, and then everything seemed to open up. What was your reaction? How did you find that third test with England winning by 20 points to 14 in the end?
Yeah, it was very fitting for England to win in the way that they did. I feel over the course of the three games, they were the better team. They brought more quality and they were able to execute as well. So I think New Zealand, they came close, but in the end, their lack of execution let them down.
And you mentioned execution. I was on another radio station earlier this morning, pretty much doing what you're doing here with us. And the thing they pointed out to me was the two moments of brilliance from Jason Nightingale in scoring the try and setting up the one at the end as well. And although it was obviously disappointment to lose, a couple of pieces of magic there, weren't they, from Jason Nightingale?
Oh, definitely. And he's made his career, certainly the latter part of his career, Richard, being able to score those sort of athletic tries that you'd normally associate with, I guess, no disrespect to Jason, but the younger, more athletic-looking players, whereas Nightingale, he seems to have come in his own, especially in those conditions when it was really bucketing down, to keep his composure and to leap as high as he did and still manage to get it down, and plus that flick pass that was reminiscent of Dean Farre's flick pass a couple of years ago. The skill level from both teams was very good, and it was great for a ferocious Wigan crowd to get such quality as well. I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was great. Great passionate noise from the sellout crowd in Wigan, seeing England win there. England win the first series since 2007. I say England, it was Great Britain, of course, on that occasion. That was the year before New Zealand famously and brilliantly won the World Cup in 2008. I think everyone on this side of the world was cheering on New Zealand that night against Australia in that World Cup final. Obviously without a couple of key names before this series, but the young players have shown up well for the Kiwis, haven't they?
Oh, definitely, Richard. Guys like Jordan Kahu, a fringe selection, but he came in and he showed great composure to score, knock over a drop goal and kick the handy conversion from the sideline. Tohu Harris, he's been in the team for about sort of a year and a half now, and for me, he was my player of the series in terms of the Kiwis, as well as in the halves. So Peter Hiku, again, he sort of made his debut last year, but he's normally a fullback or a centre or even a winger, and he had to fill in the unfamiliar role of 5'8". And, of course, Cody Nikarima as well, normally a hooker for Brisbane, but playing in the halfback role, he was very good too. So the Kiwis can, yes, it was disappointing. Stephen Kearney also said that. It's not so much, not frustration, but disappointment that he felt because he backed his players, and they'll all have some experiences and that they'll all understand and sort of taste the bitter taste of defeat, because they want to come back and they'll want to cement their place for next year and the Four Nations and beyond.
And you mentioned in 12 months' time the Four Nations back over here, and they'll be hungry to win that again.
Oh, definitely, and it's something that New Zealand, they haven't done. Yes, they won the Tri Nations in 2005, but the Four Nations in the UK, they've always come up sort of third best, the Kiwis. So if it's going to be a test, it's certainly going to be a test for all the teams. And it's, I think it's on another note, it's great to see Scotland qualify through this time round, because all the different variants of the Four Nations have actually had different teams. Remember, it was France in 2009, Wales in 2011, Samoa in 2010, and then last year as well, we had a different qualifier. So I think it's great for international footy that we're going to get some Scotland to take on Australia, England and the Kiwis.
From your perspective there, looking at the England side, what did you make of them over the three test series?
Well, they certainly improved. And the first game, they sort of hit their straps almost straight away, even though I think both teams sort of struggled to get into it. England, their attack, I was most impressed with their attack certainly from the get-go, but also their defence really to shut out often repeated waves of sets of six by a desperate sort of Kiwi side. Guys like James Graham and Sean O'Loughlin and a lot of players stood up, too many to probably name here, but they all did their part. And surprise packets as well. Elliot Whitehead, a couple of tries, fantastic. And rightly, the English skipper O'Loughlin, named man of the series was credit to him. But definitely, and guys like, I think Matty Smith, he certainly put a stamp on the halfback role in terms of coming back. He played one of his better games in the England jersey, I'd say, in terms of with his kicking was just, it was sublime. And he had that in those conditions. He really sort of stood out for me. And Jermaine McGilvray as well, Matt, in terms of the leading try scorer as well. Obviously, you'd know more than myself about McGilvray, but he straight away, he made a huge impact. Just his runs and his enthusiasm, he's certainly someone who should be in and around the England team for a long time.
Yeah, his club coach at the Giants, Paul Anderson's told us many a times after games this season, it's not necessarily his try scoring, and of course, as you mentioned, he was the top scorer this year, but his defensive efforts as well, as we saw yesterday, have made him one of the best players in the competition. You mentioned Elliot Whitehead, he's going down to the NRL next season, adding to that contingent. And from my perspective, it can only be good for the England side to have more players playing in the toughest competition in the world. How do you see yet another player join? Joe Burgess, of course, moving down to the NRL. Do you think it's good for the England side, good for International Rugby League, that more England players are playing in the NRL competition?
I'd say yes, Richard, and sort of preface that with, I feel like, I remember Ellery Hanley came over to the NRL for a sort of Great Britain, Australia celebration day. It was 2012, and his comments were sort of straight down the barrel in terms of saying he just felt like England would be a long way away in terms of, matching Australia, even in his lifetime. It just sort of took me off guard because I thought there's almost like an aura of in terms of the NRL by English rugby league players. I just don't think it should be. There's not a huge gap. It's just different football. And yes, the benefits obviously playing in terms of that style of football. It's probably more emphasis on defence as opposed to attack in the Super League. So I think the players that will get exposure in the NRL will get different types of football. They'll play with, the Australian and New Zealand players. So there's more familiarity there. And also, it's obviously nowadays there's sort of players from Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, PNG. There's a lot more internationalism within the NRL. So yes, they'll benefit. They'll have, different coaches for sure. Everyone sort of benefits under those regimes. Maybe different sort of professionalism. It all goes into the blender. But I think don't discount the Super League in the way that maybe these sort of foreign players might sort of say. It's still definitely a high standard. It's just different football.
I think sometimes,
that's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I think sometimes we perhaps, and I'm guilty of this myself, get blinded by how big rugby league is, certainly in Sydney and New South Wales, and the big crowds and the media coverage compared to what we have over here. I think that's one of the things that perhaps we take a little bit too much stock in. And as you say, the Super League, it's not obviously at the same level as the NRL, but we're not too far behind us. These test series has perhaps shown in the performances in the Four Nations last year. And I should ask you, obviously there's no questions over the future of the New Zealand coach, Stephen Kearney, but Steve McNamara's contract has come to an end. He was very non-committal at the end of the game yesterday. What do you make of that situation? Over here, it has to be said, amongst supporters of various clubs and in the media, he's not the most popular of figures, McNamara. How do you see his reign as England coach, and do you think he will continue in the job?
Well, you'd have to go back. I mean, he's had the role he took over in 2009, if my memory serves me correct, 2010, perhaps about 5 years in the role. And in that time, he's had, a Four Nations final, that was 2011, and a World Cup semi-final, by the 20 seconds to go, and now he's won a series as well against the number one ranked team. And his contract before the series, I remember he was talking about, I think the media asked him, well, what's your stance? Are you gonna kind of commit to next year? And he simply said, look, it's at the moment, my arrangement is that it's year by year, and it's almost sort of performance-based. If, you know, both myself and Nigel Wood, the RLF chief executive, if we're not happy, then that's fine. But at the moment, it's sort of working that way. I guess it sort of keeps you on your toes. You know, if you get a four-year contract, maybe there's a bit of, I guess it's a bit sort of lax to sort of set in, and maybe you're a bit more comfortable, whereas year by year, let's assess it, let's keep it fresh. If he's not happy, that's fine. If he doesn't get the performance, then let's do a review. And I think that's a smart way of doing things in professional sport, because it's certainly very results-based. Obviously, the players will have input after the series and there'll be a review. But, I mean, in terms of my dealings and, I guess, you know, how I've watched him and how he prepares and how he comes across, he, you know, he's very gracious. He has great passion for the game. He's got great passion for English rugby league and also international rugby league. You know, he has a sort of big picture sense about him. You know, when that semi-final sort of came and went, he was sort of, the way that he described it was, look, we're very disappointed, but there's a lot of people that are doing it more tough than we are at the moment. So I think his passion and his love of the game, and I think he's a great ambassador for the sport. Supporters in England should be very proud of him, and the way he conducts himself, absolutely, you know, respected. So for me, it's the right thing. You know, year by year, that's a great way to be.
We are a strange nation in terms of, you think that the coach of the England football team, Roy Hodgson, had managed the team unbeaten since the World Cup up until Friday's defeat against Spain, and still people were calling for his head at many and various points over the last few years. So I think it's the English sporting mentality, whether as supporters or the media. We do have a strange sense of importance at times, certainly in the media. I'm not afraid to say that, being part of it myself. Andrew, as we wrap things up then, overall, the three test series, the game against Leeds as well, a positive tour for New Zealand despite the results?
I have to say yes, and that's mainly because of some of the players that weren't always in the selectors' minds that sort of came about. And those players that we mentioned sort of earlier, Tohu Harris, a big plus for me, and then Cody Nikarima, Jordan Kahu, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck continued his rise and really led the back line and led the team around. So, and obviously Isaac Luke, not a regular captain, but I think he handled himself pretty well. He took a lot of responsibility. So, yes, it's going to be very disappointing, and probably New Zealand fans will say, well, we lost it 2-1, so it's got to be a failure. Well, yeah, results-wise, the Kiwis, they didn't win. England did. But for sure, maybe in the Four Nations, maybe in the World Cup, some of these players that we've just seen over the last few weeks, they might become more central figures in that World Cup team. So you've got to look at the glass half full, don't you, Richard?
Certainly do. Andrew, thank you very much for your time over the past few weeks ahead, and obviously now at the end of this Test Series, England versus New Zealand. I was told last night that that's the end of the season now. There's no more work for us to do. But as you and I well know, the Rugby League world never ends. Enjoy whatever off-season you get. I think ours has ended up before it started. And we look forward to speaking to you again in 2016 ahead of a brand new season over there.
Thanks, Richard. I really look forward to it. Thanks for your time.